Good Vach. This is Yisachar Wertel, and we are just about up to Purim. That's right, Motzi Shabbos this week is Purim, but first we have Parshat Vayikra. A lot of things to talk about, but there are two things that are read in this week's Parsha, right? Well, it's not just Parshat Vayikra, but we also have Parshat Zachar. So in addition, we read about Zecher Amalek, and it's certainly something we're thinking about, whether or not, what's going on in Israel has anything to do with Amalek. It's not really so clear. But either way, we want Hashem to help us with our troubles. And one of the troubles we've had along the way is Amalek, and Hashem gives us the command to wipe out Amalek and all of the tzaras that they cause. And that's part of the reading of the end of Parshat Bashalach, which is Parshat Zachor. Now, interestingly enough, this word of Zachor appears multiple times in multiple forms in Parshat Vayikra. Now, one of the forms is Ezkerata. Aleph, Zayin, Chaf, Resh, Tav, Hey. So that is Ezkerata, which means its remembrance. A couple other possible ways of defining it, but that's how we're going to define it. Its remembrance. Now, without getting into its halachic significance, the symbolic meaning behind this term is to remember that when bringing the Ketoret or Mincha offering, either one, to remember whom you are bringing them to and why, right? Obviously, you're bringing them to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and what you have to remember the purpose. You're not just going through the motions, right? There's a purpose. So the Ibn Ezra states the Torah could have used actually the word zichrata or zichorata rather than the word ezkara. But the Aleph is put in front specifically to make sure certain that we have Hashem fully in mind and not any other motives or chas v'shalom, any other deities in mind when bringing these offerings to Him. Now this root of Aleph and Zachor, Zayin Chaf Resh, can also be arranged to form the word echzar, which is cruel. So that's not good. Sometimes when we twist things, all things can happen. The Aleph at the beginning should be referring to Hashem, but we know that Aleph represents a singularity. It's a oneness. Now, that oneness, when it's the wrong oneness, can also be I, right? Now, of course, there's a positive self-esteem. There's a positive version of the ego. But when a person focuses solely on himself, it can get to the point where not only does he disregard other people, but will actually be cruel to them, either for his gain or for his amusement, sometimes even unwittingly. But certainly, if he does it in an intentional manner, it's cruel. He thereby twists this root of Zecher into Khazar or Achzar. Now, the nation of Amalek does not believe in Hashem, and therefore their only Aleph is I. Or alternatively, you could even see the Aleph as a singular circumstance. It's not connected to anything. It's just a one thing, one here, one there, right? It's just a one-off. It's just Mikra, as we learn out, right? We learn out that Amalek is, into happenstance, not really attributing anything to certain power, not even a foreign deity. Or they believe in themselves. They do not care about the welfare of others, but will go out of the way to attack them to provoke their agenda. They, in a sense, are a symbol of cruelty, and in a very difficult way to think about, but in Hashem's act of chesed, we want to get rid of the cruelty of Amalek, and therefore we must not only remove them, but we have to retwist their achzara, their cruelty, back into an azkara. Because we want to make sure that the world, in whatever form they do, remembers Hashem, certainly the Jewish people. So we have an obligation to remember, and we have an obligation to create a remembrance of it. Now, this also, interestingly enough, ties into the root of Zachar, which, for a variety of reasons, is also connected. So that's the word of male, meaning a male individual or a male animal. So it actually comes up, as I said, many, many times in this week's parsha, referring to male animals, largely beyond the scope of this topic, but typically, historically speaking, the masculines, whether it's animals or humans, were the ones that were typically more dominant and therefore had a greater role and would either be the ones to lead either in a positive manner or in a negative manner. Again, I don't want to get into it. It's also somewhat of a touchy subject, and times have changed a little bit. We're not gonna get into that too much, but it is something that's very interesting. So we want to make sure that we get rid of Zecher Amalek because of the fact they twisted it to an Achzara cruelty. One other interesting thing to talk about is based off of a Dvar Torah that I heard from Rabbi Moshe Tovia Leif, I think as they pronounce it, Leiff, and expound upon it. Now he cites the middle of Babbat Rebbe. I may have spoken about this last year, if possible. Rav Dov Ber, he answered the question why on Shabbos we sing Hashomer Shabbat, Kamachvat. I'm pretty sure I did talk about this last year, but either way, I have a few minutes to talk about it again. This can be translated to Shomer Shabbat, one who's observant of the Shabbos, the son with the daughter, to God, it is desirable that the mincha upon the machvat pan. Now, why is this the focus? Why are we focused upon this particular type of mincha offering, and how does it fit in with the Shabbos? Now, the parsha teaches us the numerous ways in which a flour offering, a mincha, can be brought, and some are brought in a machlat, which was a flat, shallow pan. Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, meaning Reb Dover, he taught his chassid, his disciple, that it's important to not only teach children by example, but to make sure when you do things properly that it is clear to your children. And that's also true for Purim, by the way, right? You want to set a good example for your children. That includes all those people who are planning on drinking, which is fine, but be very careful about what you do when you're drunk. So regardless of what you do, whether it's Purim, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's any other time, they should see how you act as an example, and especially they should see the mitzvah and the chesed you do. Chesed, like flour, absorb a lot, and flour in this essence can be likened to Torah and Torah values, but for children, it can't be hidden or deep. It's spread out in shallow. They see things in a very, very simple way most of the time. Although kids sometimes are wiser than you might think. But this in the sense that it's clear and simple for them. You want to make things very simple for them. When they get older, you can make things deeper and get to the complexities of things. But things should be obvious. Now, of course, you can make things, spices, that's an interesting, that's a midrash, whatever. But spell things out clearly. Do not provide deep, obscure, confusing insights or overly complicated to people who don't know how to deal with it. And that's children or people who might not be as learned. Now, it's like the machlat pan, which was the simplest of all the mincha pans. It was not deep, and it was flat, and it was easy to convey. Rabbi Leaf teaches that this is the idea behind the line which we sing in Baruch Ke'elyon that I mentioned before. One who safeguards the Shabbos instills this value into his or her children, the son and the daughter, both children, both sets of children, meaning all types of children. Hashem desired it when people, including the children, delight in the Shabbos. Doesn't just want the adults to delight in the Shabbos. They want the kids, right? That's why people give them, candy and Shabbos here, whatever. But there's more to it than that, right? Especially if they're old enough to appreciate Shabbos. Doug, what did you learn in school? Teach us about the Parsha, and you get them to sing. Right? It's amazing, but you don't need to make it overly complicated. Sometimes the most simple thing can make their eyes light up. Make it as clear as possible to your kids why we do certain things. If they ask a question, do your best to answer it without making it complicated. Sometimes you have to tell them it's actually very complicated. I'll tell you more about it later, but right now, here's the answer. Right? When they're older, certainly teenagers, based on their maturity, you can begin to offer them the deep mincha, so to speak, a more substantial, well-baked offering of this flour, this Torah. But younger children are the ones who tend to absorb the most and are the most impressionable. And therefore, it's the most important to make a positive and clear impression. And that's true whether it's Thursday evening when you're getting ready for Shabbos. It's true on Shabbos itself, and it's true Motzei Shabbos and Sunday when we're Purim and we are acting. We want to not just see that we're, getting drunk and having fun, but we're also that we're focusing on the Megillah, that we understand the importance of the holiday, that we give Matanis Levyonim, that we're helping the poor, that we give Shalach Manos to our friends, family, neighbors, maybe people who don't normally get Shalach Manos. We want to be compassionate, which is something Reyim Lahuvim. So we want to be alert of not just how we're acting in the eyes of Hashem, but how we're acting in the eyes of our children. So keeping that in mind, wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Freilichim Purim Sameach.